Welcome to a deep dive into the world of coastal bird conservation.
Oh, cool.
Focusing on the effectiveness of different types of protection in the Swedish archipelago.
Okay.
Our source is a 2024 research article.
Right.
It's called The Effectiveness of Area Protection to Capture Coastal Bird Richness and Occurrence in the Swedish Archipelago.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
From Global Ecology and Conservation.
Okay.
What's fascinating about this study
Yeah.
is its findings about the effectiveness of animal sanctuaries versus the more general nature reserves.
Right.
You might assume
Yeah.
that nature reserves would offer better protection,
Sure.
but as we'll discover, things aren't always so straightforward.
The Swedish archipelago is a truly unique and fragile environment.
Yeah.
And like many coastal areas, it's facing increasing pressure from human activities.
Right, so the stakes are pretty high for the birds that call this place home.
Absolutely.
The study focused on two main types of protected areas,
Okay.
animal sanctuaries, which are specifically designed to protect birds and seals,
Okay.
often restricting human access,
Right.
and nature reserves,
Yeah.
which have broader conservation aims, including protecting biodiversity
Right.
and specific habitats,
Yeah.
while sometimes allowing for human activities like recreation.
It's a classic case of targeted protection versus a more holistic approach.
Okay.
And the study really dives into how these two strategies impact bird populations in the archipelago.
And it wasn't just any birds they were looking at. They focused on two groups:
Okay.
coastal specialists, those that breed exclusively in coastal habitats,
Okay.
making them particularly vulnerable,
Yeah.
and coastal generalists, which can also breed inland.
All right.
So 19 specialists and 29 generalists in total.
This distinction between specialists and generalists was key to the study's findings.
Okay.
When comparing how many different bird species were found in specific areas, a measure known as species richness, a fascinating pattern emerged.
Interesting.
Animal sanctuaries boasted a significantly higher diversity of bird species compared to unprotected areas.
That makes sense.
Right.
More protection,
Yeah.
more birds.
Exactly.
But here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
The study found that nature reserves actually had lower species richness of specialist birds
Wow.
compared to areas with no protection at all.
Yes, it's quite a counterintuitive finding,
Yeah.
and it really challenges some of our assumptions about conservation strategies.
It really does.
It suggests that nature reserves, while valuable for biodiversity overall, might not be the most effective tool for protecting those species with very specific habitat needs.
So while nature reserves aim for that balance between human needs and conservation,
Yeah.
it might actually be the limited human disturbance within animal sanctuaries
Right?
that allows certain bird populations to flourish.
Makes sense.
It seems those specialist species really value their peace and quiet.
That's certainly a plausible explanation. The study suggests two main possibilities.
Okay.
One is that animal sanctuaries might have been strategically placed in areas already rich in bird diversity.
Ah, so like picking prime real estate for bird conservation.
Exactly.
They specifically mention common mirror and razorbill breeding grounds as an example.
Yeah, good example.
Those birds need very specific nesting conditions,
Right.
and the sanctuaries were perhaps established right where they were already thriving,
Exactly.
but reduce human disturbance within sanctuaries, especially during breeding seasons,
Right.
is another possibility.
Yeah.
Think about it. Less human traffic, less noise, less disruption. It could create a much-needed haven for birds to breed and raise their young successfully.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I could see how that would make a huge difference, especially for those specialist species that are so sensitive to changes in their environment.
The study couldn't definitively say which factor, strategic placement or reduced disturbance,
Okay.
played a bigger role, which presents a fascinating puzzle for future
It's
research.
like a bird-themed mystery we need to solve.
I like that.
But regardless of the reason,
Yeah.
the data clearly shows that animal sanctuaries are incredibly effective.
I agree.
They found that most individual bird species were more likely to be found in animal sanctuaries
Okay.
compared to unprotected areas.
So animal sanctuaries proved to be havens for individual species,
Yeah.
outperforming even unprotected areas.
They highlighted some specific examples,
Yeah.
like the common mirror and razorbill, again,
Right.
which truly benefited from this targeted protection.
Those are prime examples of those vulnerable coastal specialists that depend on very specific habitat conditions.
But on the flip side, it's fascinating that some species, including specialists, were less likely to be found in nature reserves compared to unprotected areas. It seems that nature reserves, while well-intentioned, might not be the best fit for every species, especially those with very specific habitat needs. It really highlights the need for conservation efforts that are tailored to the specific requirements of different species.
I agree.
We can't just assume a one-size-fits-all approach will work.
Precisely.
Understanding those nuances is crucial for effective conservation planning.
Absolutely.
It's not just about creating protected areas.
Right.
It's about creating the right protected areas for the species we're trying to help.
I like that.
So zooming out to the bigger picture.
Okay.
The study also looked at the total variety of bird species found across the entire archipelago, a concept they called the regional species pool.
Oh, okay.
It's essentially a measure of how well different areas represent the overall diversity of the region.
Right.
What do they find there?
They found that even though animal sanctuaries covered a much smaller area compared to nature reserves or unprotected areas, they managed to capture occurrences of almost all of the coastal specialist species.
That's really impressive.
It is.
Talk about maximizing conservation impact. It's like finding those strategic pressure points where a little bit of effort can yield big results for biodiversity.
I agree.
Now, the study also took things a step further.
Okay.
And identified what they call hot spots, which are areas with high concentrations of those rare specialist bird species.
Right.
I imagine many of those hot spots were within animal sanctuaries.
Many were, which is to be expected.
Right.
But a significant number of these hot spots were found in completely unprotected areas.
It's like they've uncovered a hidden treasure trove of biodiversity just waiting to be safeguarded.
Absolutely.
This information is incredibly valuable for guiding future conservation efforts.
It shows that protecting biodiversity isn't just about creating large reserves, but about identifying and safeguarding these critical hotspots, regardless of their current protection status.
So we've got these two key takeaways so far.
Okay.
First, that animal sanctuaries are surprisingly effective at protecting those specialist bird species. And second, that there are these unprotected hotspots out there that are crucial for these vulnerable birds.
Yeah.
But currently lack any formal protection.
It's a problem.
So what does all of this mean for the future of bird conservation in the Swedish archipelago?
Well, the study strongly supports the use of animal sanctuaries as a targeted and efficient way to protect those coastal specialists.
Right.
The birds that are most dependent on these unique habitats.
Makes sense.
But as we've seen, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
Okay.
The study also emphasizes the importance of protecting those unprotected hotspots.
Right. It's not just about setting aside land and calling it a day.
Exactly.
We need to be strategic and consider the specific needs of different species.
Absolutely.
And the unique characteristics of different habitats.
And it requires careful planning.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to development.
Makes sense.
The study specifically calls for more careful development planning.
Okay.
Especially in the outer parts of the archipelago where those specialists are concentrated.
It makes sense. We can't just ignore the fact that humans are part of these ecosystems too.
Right.
But we also need to be mindful of the impacts our actions can have, especially on those species that are most vulnerable to change.
Precisely.
So it's about finding that balance between development and conservation.
And that's where this research becomes so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
It provides evidence-based guidance for making informed decisions about how to manage these complex coastal environments.
Right.
It's about using science to inform policy and practice.
Yeah.
And ultimately to ensure the long-term survival of these incredible birds and the ecosystems they rely on.
Okay, so we've learned a lot about the effectiveness of different types of protected areas, the importance of strategic planning, and the need to consider those unprotected hotspots.
For sure.
But before we dive into what we can actually do to protect these birds.
Okay.
I want to go back to that intriguing finding about nature reserves having lower specialist richness.
Right.
That really begs for further investigation.
It does.
What is it about nature reserves that might be making them less hospitable to these specific bird species?
That's an excellent question.
Yeah.
And it's one that the study doesn't fully answer.
Right.
But it does offer some clues that we can explore further.
Okay.
Remember how nature reserves often have those broader conservation aims? Sometimes even incorporating human recreation into the mix. It seems they're trying to balance the needs of nature and people. That's right. Nature reserves often aim for this balance. And while admirable, this balancing act could be creating unintended consequences for some species.
It's fascinating to think that even limited human presence, whether it's hikers, kayakers, or bird watchers, might be disruptive enough to deter certain birds, especially those specialists we've been talking about. They might be particularly sensitive during nesting and breeding seasons.
That's a definite possibility.
Another thought is that the types of habitats typically protected within nature reserves, while diverse and ecologically valuable, might not be the ideal breeding grounds for these
I
specialists.
see what you mean.
I see what you mean. It makes me think of how some birds are incredibly picky about where they build their nests. Maybe they need a specific type of tree or a certain height above ground or a particular distance from the water.
Makes sense.
And if those very specific conditions aren't met within the nature reserve, they might just choose to nest elsewhere, even if it means venturing outside the protected area.
Precisely. It's not necessarily that nature reserves are harming these birds, but they might not be providing the precise conditions they need to thrive.
I see.
Which brings us back to the importance of recognizing those nuances in conservation planning. We need to move beyond broad categories of protected and unprotected and delve into the specific needs of different species and the characteristics of different habitats.
It's like personalized medicine, but for the environment.
I like that analogy.
We need to tailor our conservation strategies to the unique requirements of each species and ecosystem.
I agree.
A one-size-fits-all approach simply won't work.
That's a fantastic analogy.
This deep dive really highlights how complex and interconnected these coastal ecosystems are.
It does.
It's not just about drawing lines on a map and calling it a protected area. It's about understanding the intricate web of life within those boundaries and ensuring our conservation efforts are truly effective.
Absolutely. And that requires ongoing research monitoring and adaptation.
Speaking of research, I'm curious about how they collected all of this data on the birds. It must have been a massive undertaking.
It was, according to the article, the researchers conducted extensive bird surveys over several years. They divided the archipelago into 1 kilometer squares and carefully documented the bird species and breeding pairs within each square.
Wow, that's a lot of data points.
It was.
It sounds like they created a detailed map of the archipelago's bird life,
They did.
which is incredibly valuable for understanding which areas are most important for different species, where our protection efforts are working, and where we need to focus our attention. Understanding these patterns leads us to the question of action. What can we actually do to protect these birds beyond just designating protected areas?
That's a crucial question, and the study offers some insightful recommendations.
Okay.
Remember how we discussed the importance of reducing human disturbance, especially during breeding seasons?
Right.
This suggests a need for stricter regulations on activities like boating, fishing, and even tourism within those sensitive areas.
Okay.
It's not about keeping people out of protected areas entirely,
Right.
but managing human activities to minimize disruptions to the birds.
It's about finding ways for humans and wildlife to coexist respectfully. Are there any other actions beyond regulating human activities that could make a difference?
Habitat restoration and management are also crucial. Coastal habitats are constantly changing, influenced by factors like erosion and sea level rise, as well as human impacts like pollution and development.
We need to be proactive stewards of these coastal ecosystems, helping them stay healthy and resilient in the face of these ongoing challenges.
It's like we're gardeners for the archipelago, tending to these delicate habitats to ensure their long-term survival.
That's a great way to think about it.
We need to remember that these ecosystems are dynamic and require ongoing care and attention. But beyond regulations and habitat management, the researchers also emphasize the importance of public education and outreach.
I could see how that would be essential. People are more likely to support conservation efforts if they understand the value of these ecosystems and the threats they face.
It's not just about scientists and policymakers making decisions. It's about engaging the public, getting them excited about these amazing birds and their habitats, and making them feel like they're part of the solution.
It's about fostering a shared sense of stewardship for these precious coastal environments.
And that circles back to that thought-provoking question we touched on earlier.
Okay.
Does protecting those specialist species have broader benefits for the entire ecosystem?
It's a big question, and it goes beyond this particular study.
It does.
It gets us thinking about the core of conservation philosophy.
Right.
Are we focused on individual species, or are we striving to protect the interconnectedness of all living things?
It's a crucial distinction this study focused on those specialized species, mm-hmm. but its findings could have implications for the entire ecosystem.
Okay.
Maybe protecting the most vulnerable species creates a ripple effect that benefits the whole habitat.
Interesting.
Think about it. What happens to an ecosystem when one of its key players disappears?
It's like a Jenga tower. Pull out the wrong piece and the whole structure could collapse.
Exactly.
It makes you think about the interconnectedness of everything in these coastal environments. We need to consider those connections and make sure our actions are helping the whole system, not just individual parts.
Absolutely.
It's a humbling realization that we're all interconnected.
It is.
This research on bird conservation isn't just about birds.
Right.
It's about the future of these coastal ecosystems.
Yeah.
And how our actions impact the delicate balance of nature.
It is.
But before we wrap up, I have one more question about the study itself.
Okay.
They mentioned that the Swedish archipelago is experiencing this phenomenon called isostatic uplift.
Right.
What is that, and how does it play into the whole bird habitat equation?
It's a fascinating geological process. Isostatic uplift is essentially the slow rebound of the Earth's crust after being weighed down by massive glaciers during the last ice age.
Oh, wow.
Imagine the Earth's crust being like a memory foam mattress.
The
weight of the glaciers pushed it down, and now that the glaciers have melted, it's slowly springing back up.
So the land is literally rising out of the sea.
Yes.
That's incredible. Yeah. What kind of impact does that have on the archipelago?
Wow. It's a very gradual process, but it significantly impacts the archipelago's coastline.
Okay.
As the land rises, new islands emerge, shorelines shift, and habitats change.
I see.
Imagine those coastal specialist birds we've been talking about,
yeah.
so adapted to specific conditions.
Right.
They're facing a landscape that's constantly evolving.
It's like a slow motion dance between the land, the sea, and the birds, with isostatic uplift adding an extra layer of complexity.
Yeah.
It makes you realize that conservation isn't just about protecting what's there now.
Right.
It's about anticipating how these environments might change in the future.
Exactly. This process creates both challenges and opportunities.
Okay.
As new land is exposed, it might create new potential nesting sites for some species,
mm-hmm.
but it could also disrupt existing habitats or alter the availability of food sources.
Right.
It's a constant game of adaptation for the birds and for the conservationists trying to protect them.
It's like playing conservation chess, thinking several moves ahead to anticipate future challenges and opportunities.
I like that.
We need to consider those long-term geological processes when making decisions about where and how to protect these vulnerable species.
I agree.
This research has given us a lot to think about, from the effectiveness of animal sanctuaries
mm-hmm.
to the complexities of nature reserves and the ongoing changes shaping these coastal environments.
It has.
It's been a fascinating deep dive exploring the intricate world of coastal bird conservation.
And it has been a fascinating deep dive.
The study's findings challenge some of our assumptions about protected areas.
You do.
Highlighting the need for a more nuanced approach that considers the specific needs of different species.
Right.
And the dynamic nature of these ecosystems.
It really emphasizes that point.
But beyond the scientific insights,
yeah.
I think the most important takeaway is that we're all part of this interconnected web of life.
Absolutely. Our actions have consequences, and the choices we make today will shape the future of these coastal ecosystems and the incredible creatures that depend on them.
It's a reminder that conservation is not just about protecting nature, it's about protecting ourselves.
Beautifully said. So if you ever find yourself wandering along the shores of the Baltic Sea,
mm-hmm.
take a moment to appreciate the intricate tapestry of life around you.
I will.
From the tiniest shorebird to the rising land beneath your feet.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that we're all connected and that protecting the natural world is not just a noble endeavor.
Right.
It's a vital one.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, exploring the challenges and opportunities of coastal bird conservation.
We have.
Thanks for joining us on this fascinating journey.
It's been a pleasure. Until next time. Keep exploring, keep learning, and keep asking questions.
And remember, every action we take, no matter how small, can make a difference in the grand scheme of things.
I agree.
So let's choose actions that create a healthier, more vibrant future for ourselves and the planet we share.
Absolutely. It seems they're trying to balance the needs of nature and people.
Right.
That's right. Nature reserves often aim for this balance. And while admirable, this balancing act could be creating unintended consequences for some species.
It's fascinating to think that even limited human presence,
Yeah.
whether as hikers, kayakers, or bird watchers, might be disruptive enough to deter certain birds, especially those specialists we've been talking about.
Right.
They might be particularly sensitive during nesting and breeding seasons.
That's a definite possibility.
Yeah.
Another thought is the types of habitats typically protected within nature reserves,
Uh-huh.
while diverse and ecologically valuable,
Yeah.
might not be the ideal breeding grounds for these specialists.
I see what you mean. It
Right.
makes me think of how some birds are incredibly picky about where they build their nests.
Yeah.
Maybe they need a specific type of tree or a certain height above ground
Right.
or a particular distance from the water.
Yeah, makes sense.
And if those very specific conditions aren't met within the nature reserve, they might just choose to nest elsewhere,
Right.
even if it means venturing outside the protected area.
Yeah, precisely. It's not necessarily that nature reserves are harming these birds,
Okay.
but they might not be providing the precise conditions they need to thrive.
I see.
Which brings us back to the importance of recognizing those nuances in conservation planning.
Right.
We need to move beyond broad categories of protected and unprotected
Yeah.
and delve into the specific needs of different species and the characteristics of different habitats.
It's like personalized medicine, but for the environment.
That's a great analogy.
We need to tailor our conservation strategies to the unique requirements of each species and ecosystem.
Yeah, I agree.
A one-size-fits-all approach simply won't work.
That's a fantastic analogy.
This deep dive really highlights how complex and interconnected these coastal ecosystems are.
It does.
It's not just about drawing lines on a map and calling it a protected area.
Right.
It's about understanding the intricate web of life within those boundaries and ensuring our conservation efforts are truly effective.
Absolutely. And that requires ongoing research monitoring and adaptation.
Speaking of research, I'm curious about how they collected all of this data on the birds.
Yeah, it was a big project.
It must have been a massive undertaking.
It was, according to the article.
Okay.
The researchers conducted extensive bird surveys over several years.
Wow.
They divided the archipelago into 1 kilometer squares
Okay.
and carefully documented the bird species and breeding pairs within each square.
Wow, that's a lot of data points.
It was a meticulous and comprehensive approach,
Yeah.
essential for getting an accurate picture of bird distribution and abundance across the archipelago.
It sounds like they created a detailed map of the archipelago's bird life,
They did.
which is incredibly valuable for understanding which areas are most important for different species,
Yeah.
where our protection efforts are working, and where we need to focus our attention.
Exactly.
Understanding these patterns leads us to the question of action.
Okay.
What can we actually do to protect these birds beyond just designating protected areas?
That's a crucial question, and the study offers some insightful recommendations.
Okay.
Remember how we discussed the importance of reducing human disturbance, especially during breeding seasons?
Right.
This suggests a need for stricter regulations on activities like boating, fishing, and even tourism within those sensitive areas.
Okay.
It's not about keeping people out of protected areas entirely,
Right.
but managing human activities to minimize disruptions to the birds.
It's about finding ways for humans and wildlife to coexist respectfully.
Exactly.
Are there any other actions beyond regulating human activities that
Or
could make a difference?
habitat restoration and management are also crucial.
Okay.
Coastal habitats are constantly changing,
Yeah.
influenced by factors like erosion and sea level rise, as well as human impacts like pollution and development,
Right.
actively restoring degraded habitats,
Okay.
creating new nesting sites, and managing vegetation are all essential for supporting bird populations.
We need to be proactive stewards of these coastal ecosystems,
I agree.
helping them stay healthy and resilient in the face of these ongoing challenges.
It's like we're gardeners for the archipelago,
Yeah.
tending to these delicate habitats to ensure their long-term survival.
That's a great way to think about it.
We need to remember that these ecosystems are dynamic and require ongoing care and attention.
Right.
But beyond regulations and habitat management,
Okay.
the researchers also emphasize the importance of public education and outreach.
I can see how that would be essentially.
Yeah.
People are more likely to support conservation efforts if they understand the value of these ecosystems
Exactly.
and the threats they face.
Right. It's not just about scientists and policymakers making decisions. It's about engaging the public.
Right.
Getting them excited about these amazing birds and their habitats and making them feel like they're part of the solution.
It's about fostering a shared sense of stewardship for these precious coastal environments.
And that circles back to that thought-provoking question we touched on earlier.
Mm.
Does protecting those specialist species have broader benefits for the entire ecosystem?
Yeah. It's a big question, and it goes beyond this particular study.
It does.
It gets us thinking about the core of conservation philosophy.
Right.
Are we focused on individual species, or are we striving to protect the interconnectedness of all living things?
It's a crucial distinction, this study focused on those specialized species,
mm-hmm.
but its findings could have implications for the entire ecosystem.
Okay.
Maybe protecting the most vulnerable species creates a ripple effect that benefits the whole habitat.
Interesting.
Think about it. What happens to an ecosystem when one of its key players disappears?
It's like a Jenga tower, pull out the wrong piece and the whole structure could collapse.
Exactly.
It makes you think about the interconnectedness of everything in these coastal environments.
It does.
We need to consider those connections and make sure our actions are helping the whole system, not just individual parts.
Mm.
Absolutely. Our actions have consequences, and the choices we make today will shape the future of these coastal ecosystems and incredible creatures that depend on them.
Yeah, it's a humbling realization that we're all interconnected.
It is. This research on bird conservation isn't just about birds.
Right.
It's about the future of these coastal ecosystems and how our actions impact the delicate balance of nature.
It is.
But before we wrap up, I have one more question about the study itself.
Right.
They mentioned that the Swedish archipelago is experiencing this phenomenon called isostatic uplift.
Right.
What is that?
Okay.
And how does it play into the whole bird habitat equation?
It's a fascinating geological process.
Okay.
Isostatic uplift is essentially the slow rebound of the Earth's crust.
Mm-hmm.
After being weighed down by massive glaciers during the last ice age.
Oh, wow.
Imagine the Earth's crust being like a memory foam mattress.
Okay.
The weight of the glaciers pushed it down.
Yeah.
And now that the glaciers have melted, it's slowly springing back up.
So the land is literally rising out of the sea.
Yes.
That's incredible.
It is a pretty wild phenomenon.
What kind of impact does that have on the archipelago?
It's a very gradual process.
Okay.
But it significantly impacts the archipelago's coastline.
You know,
as the land rises, new islands emerge, shorelines shift, and habitats change.
I see.
Imagine those coastal specialist birds we've been talking about. So adapted to specific conditions, they're facing a landscape that's constantly evolving.
It's like a slow motion dance between the land, the sea, and the birds.
I like that.
With isostatic uplift adding an extra layer of complexity.
It adds a whole new dimension to the conservation challenge.
It makes you realize that conservation isn't just about protecting what's there now.
Yeah.
It's about anticipating how these environments might change in the future.
Exactly. This process creates both challenges and opportunities.
Okay. How so?
As new land is exposed, it might create new potential nesting sites for some species. But it could also disrupt existing habitats or alter the availability of food sources.
I see.
It's a constant game of adaptation for the birds and for the conservationists trying to protect them.
It's like playing conservation chess, thinking several moves ahead to anticipate future challenges and opportunities.
I like that analogy.
We need to consider those long-term geological processes when making decisions about where and how to protect these vulnerable species.
I agree.
This research has given us a lot to think about. From the effectiveness of animal sanctuaries to the complexities of nature reserves and the ongoing changes shaping these coastal environments.
It has been a fascinating deep dive exploring the intricate world of coastal bird conservation.
It has been a fascinating deep dive.
The study's findings challenge some of our assumptions about protected areas.
They do.
Highlighting the need for a more nuanced approach that considers the specific needs of different species.
Absolutely.
And the dynamic nature of these ecosystems.
Yeah, this deep dive has really made me appreciate how dynamic these coastal ecosystems are.
It really emphasizes that point.
It does. But beyond the scientific insights,
mm-hmm.
I think the most important takeaway is that we're all part of this interconnected web of life.
Absolutely. Our actions have consequences, and the choices we make today will shape the future of these coastal ecosystems and the incredible creatures that depend on them.
It's a reminder that conservation is not just about protecting nature. It's about protecting ourselves.
Beautifully said. So if you ever find yourself wandering along the shores of the Baltic Sea, take a moment to appreciate the intricate tapestry of life around you.
I will.
From the tiniest shorebird to the rising land beneath your feet.
It's amazing to think that the land is actually rising.
It is. It's a reminder that we're all connected and that protecting the natural world is not just a noble endeavor, it's a vital one.
Will said, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, exploring the challenges and opportunities of coastal bird conservation. Thanks for joining us on this fascinating journey.
It's been a pleasure. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep asking questions.
And remember, every action we take, no matter how small, can make a difference in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
So let's choose actions that create a healthier, more vibrant future for ourselves and the planet we share.
Absolutely.